the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along. This is the Specials Podcast from William Hill. With you again to look at all the X Factor, Strictly Come Dancing, and anything else that Rob's bothered to price up on the Specials pages. Reality Rob is sat next to me.
Good afternoon.
You well?
Yes, not too bad.
Andy Holding will be with us shortly. I think he's on his way to a race course somewhere. So he said, can I do Strictly afterwards? That's all right, isn't it? We could change it. It's not set in stone, this formula, is it?
No, I think
it's fine.
We're pretty flexible.
Yeah, I think we are. I'm delighted to say that look through the X Factor betting with us today and for the rest of the series is Daniel Gould from SofaBet. Hi, Daniel.
Hey there, Lee. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I mean, to be fair, I don't know why we haven't done this sooner, if I'm being honest, because I tend to read your website every week anyway. But, so I thought, well, why don't we try and marry these two things together? if you've never been on SofaBet, by the way, I'd be surprised if you haven't. If you're listening to this, then you must go and check it out. Your articles are fantastic anyway, Daniel and the guys on the SofaBet. But the comments are brilliant as well, aren't they? I mean, you must just love seeing the comments come in. So many conspiracy theories. It's brilliant.
That's right, yeah. I mean, what we try and do on SofaBet is we try and analyse what producers are up to and the ways in which they're either pushing up or pushing down the acts. And, the comments take on a life of their own.
Yes, they do. They're brilliant. It's well worth taking a good 15 minutes out of your day because you probably need that to read through all the comments. Let's start with the outright betting then on X Factor 2014. Andrea Faustini still out there 6-4 despite what many people are thinking is a D ramp, which paid in gold basically. Lauren Platt 3-1. Ben Haynau is 5-1. Fleur East 6-1. Jay James is 12s. Paul Acaster 20-1. So are Stereo Kicks. Only the Young at 33s. And Stevie Ritchie is 50-1. Let's get your thoughts first, Daniel, on the outrights. Who did you like pre-show for anyone who hasn't been following SofaBet? And what are your thoughts at the moment?
Yeah, pre-show. I mean, I've been proved very wrong. I mean, I thought Stereo Kicks would be pushed by producers, and I thought Lola was a secret kind of alpha wild card as well. So last week with them both in the bottom two on the Sunday just goes to show that you have to be prepared to sort of change course many times during an X Factor series. And it's a really open outright market right now because you can basically make a really good case against every single act. Yeah. And that means that you're kind of at the whim of producers who, if they want to de-ramp somebody, they can do, and I think they can do it pretty effectively. And Andrea Faustini is an excellent example of them. I mean, they've gone the full Maloney on him already. Weeks 2, 3, and 4, each of them have sort of seen him sort of mocked by Cowell or by the staging. Even Chris Maloney wasn't getting that by this stage.
Last week was just right out there, wasn't it? It was one of the
really
weirdest things I've ever seen.
He looked like, you know, those like performers at Covent Garden.
Yes.
But obviously like a stand in there, but you can't see the stick.
I mean, to be fair to him though, and I'm a big fan of Andrea Faustini. I think, you know, I'm sticking by the fact that I think he will still plough on and win this thing. I mean, he still belted it out, didn't he? He still nailed it.
And he took it like a good sport.
Yeah.
Because what happens sometimes when they do that to somebody is they get defensive and they look angry on stage.
Jack Walton.
And he just kind of let it wash over his head and he took it in really good grace and he just sang his heart out. And I still think he would have won last week's phone vote, actually, despite the treatment.
Mm. I mean, this isn't a fail-safe system, of course, but I do like watching Gogglebox when they talk about X Factor to see what they're thinking.
Yeah, they're always talking well about him, aren't they?
They love him, don't they?
And
I've never seen a negative comment about him from anywhere, to be honest, from the public.
No, we'll have to wait for 9 o'clock tonight to find out what they make of the gold. But, I mean, obviously last year they praised Sam Bailey to the hilt, didn't they? So... they always say on X Factor that if you've got the gold background, you're going well. They've gone one step further with Andre, haven't they?
That is certainly true, yeah. Lauren Platt next in the betting with Ben Haynau just behind him, Fleur East. Lauren, it seems fairly obvious that with no Lola Saunders there, and I was with you on Lola Saunders, Daniel, so I was pretty unhappy to see her go last week, especially after out-singing the band in the sing-off. But Lauren Platt seems an obvious finalist now, doesn't she?
she does. I mean, they're going to get Sherwin in the final, I think. And Lauren had a good week one. She's kind of plateaued a little bit since then. But, you know, they've generally been pretty positive about her. And despite the kind of little balls up with the dancing last week, I think they'll continue that. She's got a very clear demographic. She can sing nicely enough. You know, she's technically proficient. I think that'll be enough to get her to the final.
Yeah. Have you seen any money for any of the acts this week?
This week it's really all been about Ben Haynow. We were 6-1 top price, really. I'm just trying to get some others in apart from Andrea, really. So this week was Ben's turn to be top price.
He was first on last week, wasn't he?
I mean, it's
one of those things where I sat there with the missus, we were watching it, and we both kind of looked at each other about halfway through the song and said, "This is so weak. It sounded so empty," and the judges absolutely like loved it, didn't they?
When you think of last week's performances, you're struggling really to think back to what sort of Ben did, didn't he? He did.
It was a rock song, wasn't
it?
But it was weak. The music behind it didn't seem very very powerful, and it, I don't know. It just seemed a little empty to me.
It's difficult, really. What Ben and Paul probably fit into the same category. They don't really know what they want to do with them. Do they want to get them just singing into the microphone? Do they want to do a bit of dancing? Is there more of a performance element of those two? And I think Paul's probably suffered more than Ben with this. But I mean, again, probably quite safe. Probably the best of the overs. Well, debating whether it's him or Fleur at the moment.
Yeah, that's an interesting debate, that, though, isn't it? And, you know, top overs betting. I mean, Fleur East is she's 11-8, and so is Ben Haynow. You know, nothing between them, Daniel. And I know a lot of people in the industry are really keen on Fleur East. I mean, we've seen in previous series of The X Factor, artists like her don't tend to get to the final. I don't know if it's the British public who don't like the rapping element or don't like the kind of urban element. You wonder if she's slightly different, if she's got a little bit more about her. She didn't sing particularly well, but she danced fantastically well to Thriller, didn't she?
Yeah, I've been guilty of underestimating Fleur. I mean, I agree with all you've said. She's not particularly Middle England friendly, despite being, you know, perfectly likeable enough. There's one challenge for her, and she hasn't done it yet. She hasn't performed a ballad yet. And this will be a big moment, because I can't really imagine a female soloist winning without really nailing a ballad at some point, especially in the final. I just can't imagine that happening. So she's got to have her ballad moments. Now, there is some YouTube stuff that suggests she could do it with the right thing, something like Desiree or something. But in terms of what I've seen on the show itself, she's in tune, but she's got no power to her vocal. So I think her litmus test is still to come. It's the ballad. And I'm going to hold off deciding on just how much chance she's got until I see her, how well she does that.
I think they've dressed up the choreography quite well for her, haven't they? That they've, if there is a weakness, they've done quite well, really, to hide it, at least.
Definitely.
until this stage.
Yeah.
As Daniel says, if she is going to win, at some stage she will have to do this ballad, and that's probably is the test of whether she goes a long way in this competition.
It's Queen versus Michael Jackson.
Well, she could have done
week.
Thriller this,
yeah, she
this week
do it again.
As well. Yeah, exactly.
Could have. Yeah, I'm not sure if this week is going to be her week for that necessarily, because presumably they won't give her another Michael Jackson song. I mean, I could be wrong, but you know, I'm trying to think of Queen stuff she can do. I mean, they'll find something. So you never know. But I'm waiting for those song choices to come out.
Yeah.
And for it to be a ballad, and then it'll be game on.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward. But when we do this podcast, I'd love to wait until the song list comes out.
Yeah,
but you're never quite sure when it's going to come out.
The Digital Spy predictions list reckon that she's going to do Smooth Criminal. This week is essentially made for Fleur, so she
more dancing.
So she could do anything, but we think this would work perfectly.
Yeah, more dancing, but I think that could be her undoing in the end if you're not going to nail the vocals. And
well,
it's not a dancing show, is it?
Are we going to get to the bit where the judges are going to say, "Well, we're going down the one trick pony"? If you're going to do the exact same every week, I'm surprised they haven't really come up with it before, have they?
No, but no. The eighth elimination markets see only the Young and Paul Acaster as the co-favourites at 5-2 with William Hill. Stereo Kicks are 7-2. Stevie Ritchie 9-2. Jay James 12-1. Fleur East 14s. Ben Haynow 25s. Lauren is 40-1, and Andrea is 50-1. We were talked last week, and I know it's been a conversation point on SofaBet, Daniel, about this Stevie Ritchie thing. I mean, you know, it's like no one cares. It's like, you know, the joke, there's not even a joke. I was going to say the joke's not even wearing thin. There isn't even a joke to start with about Steve Ritchie. He's just there, isn't he? And just motoring along through the competition. No one really cares. No one's really angry about it. I know Louis said once or twice, oh, you know, that's it. You know, it's that's it. That, you know, the fun's over. But, I mean, last week was arguably his best performance. Are we looking, we've seen in previous series where the joke act does their big performance, that's it almost. You know, the VTs the next week tend to say, look, I've done what I came here to do. You know, it almost gives the viewer the impression they don't want to be in it anymore. Is 9-2 a little big for him to go this week?
I see where you're coming from with what you've said. My problem is they usually keep the novelty, and Stevie is the only novelty, and I'll put that in inverted commas, left. They usually keep them until like the final seven, for another couple of weeks. And I agree with what you've said. I think they had to pull that out of the bag at Halloween because that was a song he'd clearly done before and he knew and liked. I think they're going to try and keep him going, even if that means there's a controversial sing-off save, because I think that's really good for headlines and ratings.
And we haven't had one yet, have we?
And we haven't had one yet, and there's usually one in a series. So this week could well be set up for something like that.
Which Queen or Michael Jackson song is Stevie Ritchie going to sing? Well, he'll do.
Let's talk of Bohemian Rhapsody, isn't it?
Which would indicate that
he gets the bigger number. I don't think he'll be doing the Michael Jackson number. I think the bigger Michael Jackson numbers will be going to sort of Fleur or even.
I don't think they'll give him a Michael Jackson song.
Even Andrea.
I can't see it, can you? No. Stevie Ritchie.
Stevie Ritchie, it's all set up for Bohemian Rhapsody with the big background and everything.
Yeah.
Is he on Louse? He was on Louse last week, wasn't he? So chances are he'd probably be in somewhere towards Louse this week, but probably about 7th or 8th.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if he goes for Supersonic Man. Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't Stop Me Now.
Hasn't he done that already this series at some point? Did he do that in the auditions?
I can't remember. Andrea was meant to be doing this.
Oh, was he?
Don't Stop
Me Now. It's not a great song to do, Don't Stop Me Now. It's Union J did it week one and got a lot of criticism for it.
And you had seen it this series,
Kitty,
but I couldn't...
Kitty did it and got knocked out the week she did.
So if he does get that, then, you know, he might be being lined up.
I mean, Olly Murs did it fine as well. So it's kind of, but it can be used to deramp. It's an amber warning. Don't stop me now.
Fair enough. Rob, where would you be looking on? I mean, I know song choices are everything. Running order is everything.
Well, I was quite surprised last week that I thought Lola was considerably better than Stereo Kicks in the sing-off. Mm. The fact that they decided to bin Lola off, albeit the fact that I don't think she'd probably bring much to the show anyway, but it to me means that they want to keep Stereo Kicks going for as long as possible. I wouldn't be surprised this week if only the young go, personally. I think maybe they can just work with one. Realistically, Louis would probably prefer it if it was just one band anyway.
Yeah, but surely it'd be easy to work with the one band who are decent rather than the eight lads.
Stereo Kicks, they've always talked about Stereo Kicks as this potential, everything, even in the sing-off last week they were saying the band with the most potential is so-and-so. So, I don't know. I can't get my fingers burnt on Paul Akister for third. No. Backed him on Saturday, I backed him on Sunday. It's the question. I mean, he wasn't much better, but the fact
I thought he was a lot better, actually. I thought he was better.
The fact that he survived is enough. If he was that, well, for me, if he was that bad and he survived, there is still sort of support out there for him. But I think only the young, I think, as a group, been in every single sing-off so far, haven't they? So I think it's only the young's turn this week.
What are your thoughts on Jay James, Daniel? I mean, I've got an irrational hatred of the man for some reason. I can't quite place it.
He divides people, and you know what I put it. What sums it up is his row of perfect white teeth. He's clearly had expensive dental work, and it's right there, written across the centre of his face. The kind of idea people have that it's an insincerity, I think. People kind of don't trust him. And I put it down to the teeth. and what they kind of represent. The fact that he tries a little too hard, he's been around trying in the industry.
Yeah.
And he divides people. People either hate him or think he's a great singer.
Mm, yeah, I'm not usually in either camp. I'm usually quite rational about these things. But every time he comes on, he gets the hackles. I mean, my wife is even worse, by the way. She did a fantastic impression of him. It looks a little bit more like Cliff Richard than
is he
than
not,
Jay James.
Is he not close to going down the one-trick pony route as well? Because you've had the really slowed down version of sort of the 500 miles. Mad World, which obviously couldn't get much slower.
Yeah, they tried to change up Mad World. They gave it a kind of dubstep middle bit, yeah. And they tried to claim he's not a one-trick pony when clearly he has got like a shtick which he's best at sticking to. So this show is doing their best for him. So that's the issue, is that Simon Cowell is calling him an artist every week.
Yeah.
And even if he did slip into the bottom two against someone like Ollie the Young or Paul, I mean, I'd be going in big on a sing-off, assuming he'd be saved.
It's tricky for Simon because at some stage he's going to have to probably put his eggs in one basket here with this over category. And he's really pushing these four overs. Now he's the only one with four overs left, isn't he? So
he really is. It's funny thing, you could have got 6-1 the overs. Simon Cowell winning.
I think one of those has got to go this week. I can't see that he'll have four acts left.
Which one goes though?
Get rid of JJ. That's it. I've tried to be calm about this. Get rid of him. Sick of him already.
None of the four of you.
He's not 31 either.
He's never. It's debatable, isn't it?
I don't even think he was 31 when he was 31.
He is older than me.
He spent too much time in the sun in those war zones.
Wow.
Maybe I need my teeth doing and get the wrinkle lines gone as well.
But, you still won't look 31 then.
I mean, none of the four have ever been in a sing-off, have they? So while it's probably short that one of them's in a sing-off, there's still worse out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
So
it's Simon's going strong. I'm not sure which one. I mean, obviously, I'll kind of hold back until we see the song choices and everything. But do you know what? I'm gonna go with Stevie Richie. To go at 9-2. I don't think they'll be able to save him.
I think there's a 1 week
because why I don't think they'll be able to save him is that he could well be in the bottom two with a group, and if that's the case, I don't think they'll be able to manoeuvre Mel or Cheryl into lying.
How many do they put on the tour?
Cheryl, they will be able to.
Do you think they will?
She chose him as her wild card.
Yeah,
good point.
And she's been behind him. So all they need to do is prevent him from being last, and then Cheryl can take it to deadlock. They need to do.
Yeah, it's a very good point. That.
Is it the top eight that make it to the tour normally?
They don't want him at the top,
are they? We're down to nine, aren't we? So
we're down to nine. If they want nine on the tour, they could always take nine.
Yeah.
I'm never sure of that argument at this stage. They have bent the rules before. I mean, I'm with Rob. Ultimately, I want to see the show first because the producers have been ruthless in getting rid of who you could kind of tell when watching the show they want to get rid of. But I think Ollie the Young, coming off the sympathy bounce of last week, they were incredibly negative about them in their VTs weeks 2 and 3, and which told us everything we needed to know. They kind of damaged the brand. So before the show, if someone put a gun to my head, I'd say Ollie the Young, but it's a watching brief for me. I'll be watching the show to see who they're sort of digging the knife into.
Perfect.
Ollie the Young for me, and if Paul Akers goes this week, I'll be throwing something through the computer screen at about 8:45 on Sunday night.
No doubt he will. I'll stick to my guns and I'll go with Stevie Richie at 9-2. Daniel, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
It's been good. You can follow Daniel and SofaBet on Twitter as well. Give us the Twitter address, Daniel.
It's just at SofaBet.
Simple.
Pretty obvious, isn't it? Yeah.
And I knew that. I just wanted him to say it. And SofaBet.com is where you find all the articles as well. Thanks for your time, and we'll catch up with you next week, Daniel.
Yeah, great, Lee. Many thanks.
Thanks to Daniel. Let's get Andy Holding's thoughts on Strictly, shall we? Hi, Andy. You well, mate?
I'm good, mate. Good, Lee.
Excellent. We'll spin through the outrights, see what changes have been. And there has been a change because Frankie Bridge and Jake Wood are now joint favourites at 2-1 apiece. Pixie Lott 7-2. Caroline Flack 5-1. Then up to the double figure prices. Mark Wright 10-1. Simon Webb 40s. Judy Murray 50s. 66 is Steve Backshall. Sunetra Sarkar 66. And Alison Hammond 80-1. Rob, first of all, the movement in the outright betting is obviously Jake didn't impress much last week, and now his price hasn't gone out, but now he's got a co-favourite with him.
Yeah, he's
it's got a co-favourite, and it's been tricky because, I mean, Frankie definitely got, obviously, the luck of the draw last week. She came on. It's not the first time. It's the third time in a row now where the person who's been on last has got the highest score. I know Andy was upset with Pixie getting the highest score last week to Pip. I think it was Caroline then at 34. I probably felt a bit the same last week. I thought, I don't think whether Frankie's doubts deserved a 37 or not is up for debate, but 37 it was, and again pipped what would have been a 14-1 winner in Mark right at the end.
Yeah. Andy, we won't go through the outrights because we know your thoughts on Jake, of course. Should we look at the highest scoring market first of all? Frankie 5-2 doing the Samba, Caroline 3-1 doing the Waltz, Pixies doing the Foxtrot this week 3-1. You've got Jake next in the betting, who disappointed quite a lot last week. He's doing the Rumba, maybe more up his street. Mark, who impressed quite a few, he's doing the Paso Doble. He's 8-1. No one bigger than that's going to break into the high score, are they?
I don't think so, Lee. No, I mean, it's pretty predictable last week the way it was going to go. Jake, I didn't think, had a particularly good dance for him. He did the Paso, and as we predicted, really, he wasn't really a contender, if you like, for the high score. But pretty much the same again this week, because he's doing the Rumba, and as we know, the Rumba's a very, very difficult dance for any celebrity to score well, particularly the males. You know, you've got to have good swing and sway, good hip action. I just don't think he's going to pull it off this week, so I'm ruling Jake out. So I'm going to make it between Caroline and Frankie again. Obviously Frankie scored high last week with 37, but that was down to also a very good staging, and it was also to do with the fact she got the pimp spot as well, which in recent weeks is becoming more and more relevant, I think, strictly, than it ever has been before. So much so that she got 61,000 playbacks for that good rendition on YouTube. She was also very popular as well on Digital Spy. So ultimately, she was a worthy winner. But this week, she's doing the Samba. You know, you've got to have good technique, good Samba rolls, good bounce, which she's going to have. But she's up against Caroline this week, who I put up a couple of weeks ago to score high. And although she, I wouldn't say let me down, I think she was a bit unlucky more than anything else due to the fact that she was last but one to go out instead of got in the pimp spot. And she's doing the Waltz this week, which it could really, really suit her. She's looked fantastic in training. She's got good poise. She's got good class. And she's got a few nice, elegant moves in there, which I think could just really bolster her chances of getting high score. She's also, as well, I think, due at the pimp spot. We haven't had a score, you know, we haven't had a dancing towards the back end of the show. She's usually been first out, middle, or, you know, she hasn't had the showcase position. And I've got a funny feeling that doing the Waltz this week, they're really going to try and push Caroline. And at 3-1, I think she could be a good value to get the high score this week.
The elimination market sees Alison Hammond as the favourite at 15-8, Judy Murray 11-4, Simon Webb 9-2, Steve Backshall 6-1, Sunetra Sarkar, who's just kind of going along through the show without any publicity or anything, 6-1, Mark Wright 10s, and then you get up to 66-1 and bigger the rest. The story, of course, came out this week, Andy, that Judy Murray, according to the Daily Star, is winning the public vote, which is remarkable. Maybe not when you think about the kind of the Scottish influence on these kind of reality TV shows, but didn't strike me as that, you know, I know she's gone for the Scottish vote wearing, you know, like, you know, kilts and all the rest of it, and, you know, her sons have been there and everything, but that's interesting, isn't it, if it's true?
It's got to be, I suppose, in some way, because she's been down at the bottom of the leaderboard on a regular basis, but I think the fact that she's kind of like showing herself off to be quite a decent character, and she can laugh at herself, and, you know, she's had plenty of harsh criticism from the judges, particularly Craig, has really got stuck into her, and yet she's kind of just laughs it up in sort of her own little way, with almost gay abandon, to be honest. And I think that partnership with Anton is really flourishing as well. You know, she did a reasonable American Smooth last week, and she's going to be tragic again this week, really, with the dance she's doing is guaranteed to be lowest score, you know, doing the Paso. But I've got a funny feeling she's going to survive again this week. Now, Alison's favourite to go, but I've got a funny feeling she's going to bounce this week, and she's going to go back rocketing up the leaderboard due to the fact that she's doing a really good dance for her. As I said, the last 2 weeks, her sort of position in the popularity stakes have dropped because she's been doing dances that haven't been suiting her. She's now doing the Charleston this week, which of course suits her personality, being a cheeky, bubbly dance. She obviously needs the energy level spot. I think if off, she's got a good chance of remaining in the show. So I think we could have a bit of a bit of value this week with the ones who might be in the dance-off. And I think Steve and Ola are right on the... I think they're doing the Paso, aren't they?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, which should really suit Steve in all intents and purposes, being a very strong masculine guy. But he's a bit muscle-bound, and you also have to make really good sort of shapes in doing the Paso. And, you know, we've seen people like Jake fail and one or two other male celebrities fail in the Paso. Not many have really pulled it off. Plus the fact that he only got 1.8% on Digital Spy last week for their popular dancers. He only got 26. He's kind of that middle of the road leaderboard position that he's always very vulnerable. So it's 6-1.
Yeah.
I've got a funny feeling Steve's going to be in a dance off this week. He hasn't been for the chop yet, but because he's doing a dance off, I don't think it's going to suit him. He's not overly popular. But he's definitely the value bet to go this week.
Yeah. Simon Webb and Sinatra Sarkar, I suppose, the other ones around him as well, who could be in danger. Sinatra's got the Pasadobra as well.
No, she's got the Foxtrot.
My eyes are deceiving me. I need to sit up straight. Yeah, she's got the Foxtrot. I'm looking at the one above all the time. And Simon and Christina have got the Quick Step.
Well, it could well be that Simon will be in it again. We know he's very unpopular. He only got 1,000 YouTube hits playbacks for doing his Paso, which is an all-time low. That's the lowest it's ever been the whole series. But also, Sinatra was also down there as well. She only got 1,600 for her chive. The good thing for Sinatra fans as well, to keep her in perhaps, is that she's doing the Foxtrot this week, which should suit her because she's already done American Smooth. Foxtrot, very similar to American Smooth. I mean, she's got an advantage for having danced a similar dance she's danced before. She's very elegant in the ballroom. I think that might just pull her through. So I predict Simon, who's doing the Quick Step this week, to be in the dance-off with Steve. And I think Simon will outdance Steve in the dance-off. And that's the reason why I do think at 6-1, as I said, he's definitely the value.
That sounds a perfect argument for me. I'm going to invest.
I can't really...
I'll finish the podcast first. But,
yeah, fine. I was the other way, actually.
You got Simon.
I was over Simon. I think the fact that he's been in bottom two is going to count against him. But I tell you, I was following James Jordan's tweets last week. He's really got it in for the show, hasn't he?
He's lively, isn't he? Yeah.
If you ever... It's something... It's quite a good sort of alternative commentary if you're into that. But, yeah. I mean, he was very critical of sort of some of the marking and stuff last week. He said that Steve had made a lot of mistakes in with Ola, and that's why the judges... He thought the judges could have scored higher and stuff, but... Yeah, I can see those two. I presume Andy Murray will be there this week, though, because I've had a look in his tennis game at the O2's not till Sunday at 2 o'clock. So he's there, and I just wonder if they want to keep Alison for Blackpool week, which is sort of their big
swan song, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the week after. So yeah. I can see a bigger name, maybe either Alison or Judy, going next week.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we're pretty much all on the same ballpark.
I like it.
We?
I like that 6-1. Andy, thanks very much for your time. I know you've got to rush off. So thank you for sparing the time, and we'll speak to you next week.
Will do. Cheers, Lee. Thanks, guys.
Good luck with your bets, Andy. That's Andy Holding talking all things Strictly on the Specials podcast.
These people never say goodbye to me, do they?
No. Goes without saying there, Rob. You know what I mean?
I think it's a bit
I think they're saying goodbye to the podcast.
I'm part of the podcast. Long-serving member.
Don't be sad. Elsewhere on the list of things, still Jake Wood and Andrea Faustini to win X Factors on there. 13-2. I think it's got bigger.
It's got bigger, hasn't it? Yeah, since last week.
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, betting. Robbie Savage still 8-1. Told me he's not doing it, Rob. So yeah, don't bet on Robbie Savage.
I won't trust him. He turns up at an opening of an envelope.
People are backing him.
Yeah, of course people are backing him. To be fair, he's got more chance than a few of them on this list.
Hulk Hogan was rumoured to be in it.
Hulk Hogan, yeah. How much of the budget would you take for Hulk Hogan? Wow. He's got more chance than Liam Gallagher and Roy Keane at the bottom of the list anyway.
I can see quite a few of these doing it, the likes of Tom Daly, Nicola Adams, Talisa.
There's talk this morning that Ricky Hatton is on his way there now.
Yeah.
Tom Daly's confirmed. There was a confirmed list. They'd confirmed a few. I think Melanie Sykes, Gemma Collins, Terry Hatcher, I think, has been confirmed. So there's sort of four or five that have been confirmed, but again...
Dynamo, is he confirmed?
He's not confirmed, Dynamo, now.
He'll probably just appear out of the fire. Then there he'll be. Elsewhere on the pages, Spotty New Year specials. What New Year special have you given us?
I've been off.
David Beckham to be awarded a knighthood
in the
2015 New Year's Honours list.
If he didn't get one through the Olympic stuff, the ambassador stuff, why would he get one now?
Don't know. There's also all the Christmas specials now as well. So you've got number one single, Snow on Christmas Day, top Christmas number one book, and top Christmas video game. I always like these.
What do you want to know?
I was going to say...
4 to 6, X Factor. It's drifting. Band-Aid is,
really?
is the early one at the moment. Confirmed that One Direction will be singing this morning on this song.
Okay.
Peace Collective, I think, is up there as well. I think Peace Collective is 7 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's from, obviously, Justice Collective that raised money for the Hillsborough, the 96 Liverpool fans who died in 1989. So I think it's the 100 years, isn't it, of the World War One.
So, yeah.
It's for a good cause.
Yeah, very good cause.
7 to 1, I think, has got a bit of legs.
Yeah, definitely. I'd take X Factor on with either of the Band-Aid or the Peace Collective. Yeah. You've got number one album as well, the top Christmas video game, FIFA 15 going head-to-head with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, 4 to 5 FIFA 15, and 5 to 2 for COD in that market. So plenty of other stuff.
COD. I like it that you're down with the kids.
COD. Oh yeah, COD. Oscars, Christmas specials, NTAs, that's just the best judge.
Just the best
judge. Sexy Women, Next Bond, Weather Specials, Glastonbury, Dancing with the Stars, Tenor Prize, Nobel Prize, EastEnders, Royal Specials. There's nothing much for it. There's been a bit of chat about, have you seen any money about Interstellar?
Interstellar comes winning out stuff? Today, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, 13 to 2 to be best picture. It's very early though, isn't it?
I'm hopefully off to see it next week.
Really?
Though it does. I always like these films with some sort of plot and storyline, but it does look a bit complicated for me, does Interstellar, but I'll have a go. It's our worst result in the book, so right. So I'll wait and see what we're losing our money on come next February.
Very good. I think that'll do us.
Rob. Yeah.
Nice to have Daniel and Andy.
It's been nice, hasn't it?
Now, four
of
us on the
podcast.
It's
been a bit cold in here, but it's been nice.
I told you, it's on 20. You just turn it up there and it'll go up to 20. It'll be warm in about.
I don't want to make you.
I don't mind.
Point now, is it? I'm going.
I want my guests to be comfortable.
I'm going back upstairs to the nice comfy sofas.
You've got a jumper on.
Pre-match training.
You have got a jumper on. Do you do sofas up there, do you?
Very thin.
We don't sit on a chair, just sit on a sofa.
Sabutio tables and everything, yeah.
Beautiful. Like if Heineken did offices.
If Heineken did offices.
Is it Heineken, that advert?
Carlsberg did Carlsberg. Offices. Yeah.
If Carlsberg did offices. I don't really drink beer or watch TV. I do watch TV, I'm lying. Quick recap. X Factor, you're going for?
Oh, X Factor, yeah. Only the young go this week.
Okay, I'm going for Stevie to say farewell at last. Strictly. You're going for Simon.
Simon Webb.
Andy's going for Steve Baxall at 6 to 1. And I'm just listening and taking notes. That's it.
Caroline Flack, high score, 3 to 1 as well.
Fair dues. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Rob, to Daniel, and to Andy. You can get this podcast at audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcast, or you can subscribe via iTunes and get it delivered to your phone or your tablet or your PC every single week. If you haven't bet on anything that we've discussed in the podcast, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.